through Christ all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. This is our call to worship. Let us pray. Lord God, you've been good to us, and for that we are thankful. Your mercy are new every morning. Your grace never changes. There's no variance in who you are in our lives. So, Lord, today we are here to worship who you are and to lift up holy hands before you. Lord God, continue to cleanse us and make us righteous and continue to keep us in the image of your Son. Have your way during this time of worship. For it is in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't have a program. What hymn number are we doing?
429.
Hymn number 429. This morning, hymn number 429.
Yield not to temptation.
Yield not to temptation. Good morning.
Our responsive reading this morning is number 41, Presence of God, Old Testament. Let us read responsively. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence?
Ascend to heaven. You are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there.
If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast.
Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your body spirit from me.
The Lord went in front of them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them along the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light so that they might travel by day and by night.
Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people.
You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed.
Show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple.
And I said, woe is me, I am lost, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.
O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill?
Those who walk blamelessly, do what is right, and speak the truth from their heart.
Glory be to the Father, and to the
Good morning, church. Oh, come on. Yesterday, you were louder than this. Good morning, church.
It didn't help.
Now, you getting ready to get started.
I can't wait till the end of the morning.
Don't worry.
I just said, don't start. All you hornets, it's okay. Your pastor says, you can't wait. Pastor, you got to wait. Good morning, everyone, again from me. I hope and pray that you had a wonderful, exciting weekend with friends and family, and that you are ready to get your praise on in the house of the Lord. Darren, we're so happy. This is Darren Lofton. Darren comes from Atlanta. Every now and then, Darren, stand up for me. Every now and then, and she is Linda Wilson's cut buddy. I'm going to say it like that this morning, church. But she's also a friend to many of us as we have celebrated occasions together and we have done things together. And no matter when she comes here, whether it's Alabama State University, whether it's something for a birthday or whatever, she finds her way to the house of the Lord. So, Darren, we're so happy to have you with us this morning, not putting you on the spot. Would you like to say something to the church? And we're glad to have you here. Thank you. And perhaps there are others. I'm not talking about those of you who've been coming to church with us every Sunday. And we're sure glad to see you with that hat on again today and being here every Sunday. And that is such a blessing to us in Sunday school as well. So I'm not talking about people who sit behind me and those that are coming every Sunday. But others, if you are visiting with us today, please stand and be acknowledged. If you are visiting with us today, please stand and be acknowledged. And as always, we're so happy to see our First Lady. She doesn't like to sit in the front. I'm going to tell you all that. So a lot of times you all don't even know that April, Mrs. Spencer, First Lady, is in the house. But she's in the house, and she sits back there in the back quietly. We're delighted in your presence as well. Glad that you're here supporting your husband. Church, we are getting closer to the 150th church celebration. You will receive detailed information through the one call for you to share with your guests. On Wednesday night, we will wear our t-shirts and polos. On Saturday, you're going to dress up. Yes, I said we're going to dress up in the middle of the day. It's a gala celebration. It was cheaper to have the luncheon than in the evening. So we're going to dress up during the day. And why? We're going to have a professional photographer on hand to take pictures of individuals and families in front of our anniversary screen. I don't want to give everything away on the red carpet. So I want you to get ready for that. And then on Sunday, we're going to come to church here from our pastor, and we'll come in Sunday dress attire. But I'm going to send all of this out on the one call so that you can share it with those that you are inviting. No tickets will be needed for the luncheon. Let me say this again. No tickets will be needed for the luncheon. We will have a master floor plan for our tables, and the tables will be numbered. You will get your number ahead of time, and your folks will know where they're going to be sitting. The hostesses will be available to check them in as they arrive, and we're going to be ready to roll. This is going to be a gala celebration. Mrs. Valora Ford and her committee has worked extremely hard to pull this one off. And we got some surprises for you. I can't tell you today, but I am going to tell you, you're going to be blown away. I will say that to the church. And those of you who are on the souvenir committee, this is the putting the bags together. I'm talking to you this morning. Sherilyn's going to give you all a call. Sherilyn Harden will call you to remind everyone to be here Wednesday, because you're going to put your bags together on Wednesday, and she'll tell you the time, and she'll tell you everything when she gives you the call. So like I said, we're getting ready for the 150th. You're going to love this one. Sing with the Children's Youth Choir. I'm going to say it again. Sing with the Children's and the Youth Choir. We are recruiting new members, children and youth, up to ages 18. That leave a lot of us out. Rehearsal is Saturday, October the 15th at 10 o'clock. And if you have any questions about this, you're going to call Ms. Stan, Belinda, and you're going to call Carolyn. And they're going to tell you. But if you're between that age, they need you in the choir. Amen. I hear amen, and I'm amening too. I want you to remember the sick and shut in, Florette Sinkfield, Jim and Mildred Cale, Timothy White, and the husband of Janice Wesley Leneau. I want you to remember them, and if you know of others, please share it with us and let us know of anyone that's ill or anyone that needs special care. Bob Crum, I understand that we left your birthday out of the bulletin, but you had a birthday on the 3rd, so we're saying happy belated birthday to you. Oh, that's right, you ushering. I was looking for you over there sitting with your wife. So happy belated birthday to you. Valora? Yes, I have that. Thank you. I'll do that when I finish this, Valora. Now, after I got Bob Crum out the way, Aslan Kemp is celebrating her birthday on the 10th. So, Valora, we want you to tell her happy. It's her birthday. She's how old? 18. Wow, does time pass by? That's Valora's granddaughter. Now, church, we're going to do something. I haven't even talked to the organist nor the pianist about this. Mr. and Mrs. White, stand up, please. I'll give you time to get up, and I'm not going to ask you to say a word. I promise you. I'm just asking you to stand up. That's all I'm asking. Don't they look good, church? All right. So I called, and this is the message I got. They're going to celebrate their anniversary on 10/15, all right? So I said, how many years have y'all, Ms. White, why did you sit back down? Okay. So I said, how many years, that Ms. White, please, you continue to stand. And I was told that they got married in 1954. I'm going to say it again. You figure this. They got married in 1954. So please join me in singing happy anniversary to them, please, in a tune of happy birthday. All right. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, Deacon and Mrs. White. And happy and many, many more, yes. And y'all can get me after church. It's okay. When you've been married that long, it's really okay. Valora's reminding me of the essays. They are due today. So if you're turning in an essay for your grandchild or for your child, those essays are due today. You're going to see Mrs. Ford right after church. Now, I'm done. I've been here long enough, and I have my thought for the week. And it has nothing to do with the Hornets. The thought for the week. Church, love is the greatest gift that one generation can leave to another. If we don't have love, we don't have anything. Find you somebody to love. Stay close to that person and love on them. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you, moderator, for your wonderful announcements. Darren, Sister Darren, welcome back to First Church. Please do not let Mama Linda get you in trouble. Stay filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? All right, good, 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 good. All right, so with that being said, congratulations to Deacon and Deaconess White. That's a long time. He's smiling. I could tell he's smiling up under his mask, getting moved up. So that's a wonderful thing. The man that findeth a wife, he finds a good thing and obtaineth favor in the sight of the Lord. Everybody always wants you to know that ladies always say, hey, you done found a good thing. But the second part is that, and obtaineth favor in the sight of the Lord. That's what's kept you, brother. God bless you. So I have an announcement that I told the moderator about. I wasn't going to say anything about it, but I'm going to go ahead and make the announcement. We talked on Wednesday. So one of the things that I found out when I was interviewing here was that I had to do a course to complete requirements to be a member of the United Church of Christ to go through being reordained again. They asked me, would I give up my Baptist ordination? I was like, no, we ain't going to do that, but I can do dual standing. So Wednesday, I started the courses. I'm done, all but a 3,600-word essay. So that was the announcement I wanted to let you know. So when I turn that in Tuesday, hopefully she'll have my certificate by the church anniversary. So yeah, it was a 6-week course, and I don't have anything better else to do. My wife knows that I don't do nothing but read. I tell you guys that all the time. I'm used to reading and writing. So in the midst of my doctoral studies, that's what I was doing. So I'm on a break now until the week after next, and then I start back with my next two doctoral studies, hopefully completing coursework in the middle of March, and then starting on my writing project. So that's for a doctor of ministry, just so you know. Let us focus now and move ahead in worship with prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. The tempo, the op tempo, there's a word we use in the military. We call it op tempo. That basically means how operations roll. It's fast. It's going fast, especially with what's going on in the world right now. Korea done lost their mind. They're launching intercontinental ballistic missiles, ICBMs, across Japan and into Japan's international waters. Russia is threatening the use of nuclear weapons. It's a big mess. He is truly the reincarnation of Hitler, and he's angry with his people because the people... In order to fight a war, you have to have the will to fight. If your people don't have the will to fight, they won't fight. And so his people are in rebellion against him, and it's slowly starting. So we want to lift up the people of Russia in prayer. We want to lift up Vladimir Putin in prayer. We want to lift up Kim Jong-un in prayer. Yeah, we got to pray. You got to pray for your enemies. Yeah, you have to pray for them. And lift up all of these world leaders, President Biden, who is struggling with things on the national front as well as the international front. I'm going to pray for our local leadership, Steve Reed, and then our mayor in Birmingham as well. I hear that Montgomery, I don't get a chance to see you all's news, but I hear that you all are plagued with violence. And Birmingham is just as bad, if not worse. So We just got to lift it up in prayer and carry it before the Lord. Amen? Let us pray. Dear Lord, our Father and our God, help us. We need you. We always need you. Lord God, for those that are not wise enough to understand your ways, have mercy on them. We're praying for the leadership of the world, the international front of our world, Vladimir Putin, Kim Jong-un, King Charles III, our president, President Biden, praying, dear Lord, for the governors of these United States who always seem to hate melanated people so much. Praying, our Heavenly Father, for two black mayors, Mayor Reed and our mayor in Birmingham, Alabama, Lord. Praying for those that are running for the state house, as representatives. Praying, dear Heavenly Father, for the elections that will come up. Lord, promotion comes not from east or west, but it comes from you. So, Lord, with whoever gets elected, Lord, we know that there's a plan that you have. And because time rests in your hands, we know that with your plan, dear Lord, your plan is to redeem your people. So, Lord God, we look forward, dear Heavenly Father, to seeing what you have in store for us. We pray for protection of our planet, dear Lord, from those that desire to use nuclear weapons to inflict their will upon this world. Praying, dear Heavenly Father, that you would have your way, first of all, understanding, Lord, that you are sovereign. So, loving God, our Father, look after them. Look after our troops that are deployed abroad, soldiers, sailors, and airmen. Praying, our Heavenly Father, for the policemen that look after our country, individual states and counties. Praying, dear Lord, for our teachers today, Lord.
Amen.
Praying
Amen.
For our teachers, Lord.
Yeah.
That have to deal with children that weren't raised at home. And then when they go to school, the parents want to blame them, Lord. Lord, continue to keep them, Lord. Continue, dear Heavenly Father, to be the one that instructs us all, for you are the divine teacher. Praying for fathers in households, dear Heavenly Father, who have to deal with so many things and the burden of leadership.
Amen.
Praying for mothers, dear Heavenly Father, who have children that don't want to listen. Praying, dear Heavenly Father, today for deacons in our churches, Lord, that you would raise them up to be wise, dear Lord, to offer prayer and counsel to the pastor and to the people. Praying for trustees that manage money. Praying for all the pastors that have to stand up, dear Heavenly Father, for what is right. Whisper words of encouragement, words of admonition, and words, dear Heavenly Father, oftentimes of chastisement. Praying, dear Heavenly Father, for First Church. Lord, I write in my journal every morning, bless First Church. Use First Church in a mighty way, Lord. So, Father God, continue to let your mercy, love, and your rule reign here. And, dear Heavenly Father, for all these members, those that are here and those that are absent, dear Heavenly Father, look after them. Lord God, for our members that are sick and shut in, look after each and every one, dear Lord. We know you have enough healing in the hem of your garment. That if they just reach out to touch you, dear Heavenly Father, their lives will be transformed and their healing will be complete. Lord God, one of these days when you call our voices, from your voice you'll call our name. And when we hear that cry, dear Heavenly Father, we ask, dear Heavenly Father, that we find favor in your sight and that you will call us home saying, well done, thy good and faithful servant, that you would call us up and make us ruler of many. Dear Lord, find us faithful in everything we do. Lead us and love us as your children. For we ask this in Christ Jesus' name, and we all say, amen.
showers of blessings, showers of blessings. Oh, what love that flows down in my soul. There are so many blessings I can't count. Everyone, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you for all you've done. Oh, 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 showers of blessings, showers of blessings. Oh, what love that flows down in my soul. There are so many blessings I can't count. Everyone, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you for all you've done. Just this morning, I was thinking about the goodness of Jesus. And all that he's done for me. My soul got happy. My feet, they got light. And I begin to praise God for all he's done. I said, just this morning, I was thinking about the goodness of Jesus. And all that he's done for me. My soul got happy. My soul got happy. My soul got so happy. And my feet, they got light. Then I begin to feel all right. I said, I begin to feel all right. And I said, thank you. Early this morning, and I was clothed in my right mind. The Lord didn't let me sleep too late. He woke me right on time, and I said, thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
I sure thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Jesus.
I sure thank you, Lord. Way,
yes,
out of no way,
yes,
turn
did.
My midnight,
yes,
into day.
Yes,
he loosed my shackles,
yes,
and
did.
Set me free.
Yes,
that's
did.
What the Lord,
yes,
has done
did.
For me.
Yes,
so I said, thank you.
I thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
I sure thank Jesus. You could have been there,
yes,
when I came through.
Yes,
the church
did.
Was on fire,
yes,
with the Holy
did.
Ghost.
Yes,
I know
did.
For myself,
yes,
that
did.
I've been changed.
Yes,
the angels
did.
In heaven,
yes,
they done signed my name.
Yes,
so I
did.
Said, thank you.
I thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
I sure thank you, Jesus. Jesus,
I thank you, Jesus.
Let's say thank you, Lord.
I thank you, Lord.
Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you for all you have done.
Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. Amen. The book of Malachi says, will a man rob God?
Yes.
Malachi means Malach-i. Malach means its messenger. E ending, Hidikyo, on the ending of that means my messenger. That's the difference between the book of Micah and the book of Malachi. Similar meanings, messenger and my messenger. God responds back, yet ye have robbed me in tithes and offerings. Why we quote that, I don't know. That is a passage of scripture that is actually written for a group of bad priests that were mismanaging the money for the temple. That's exactly what that text is about. It's just like everybody gets together and we say back in the day, the watchword, may the Lord watch between me and ye while we're absent one from another. That's between an uncle and a nephew that can't stand each other. But we say that to one another. And then when I said that as a young seminarian in my church, the folks got mad with me. Cognitive dissonance. People get mad when you test their learning and their understanding and you challenge them with new things. But in the New Testament, we are reminded oftentimes that we should give an offering. Paul tells us not begrudgingly of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. If you read in Acts, there's a term that you will find out if you read outside of Acts, but there's a term in Acts. They talked about the Jerusalem collection. Then Jerusalem, there was a collection that was taken up for the widows and for the orphans. There was a big problem that was going on during that time. We take up our offering to do the work of the church. Period. Yeah, you got to pay the preacher, make sure the lights and the water work, and all of those great things. Make sure you got air, and then as we're getting close to the season where it gets a little cooler, make sure you got heat. But those are the things that are important. And what is important is the fact that you give out of your heart. If something is in your heart that tells you don't give, that is Satan, and you need to run him out. It is important for you to give. Everybody must give, not should, must, not all, must. Everybody must give. And so give out of your heart. Amen. Will the ushers come?
Thank you.
Suffer the little children to come unto me and hinder them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Jesus cares about y'all. He put that verse in there just for you two. 3, 4, 5, 6. I see you hiding. That's my buddy. 7. You owe me a conversation after church, young man. We're going to talk about the tallit and what it means, okay? All right. Lord God, we're so thankful for this offering this Sunday. Thankful for everything that you've given us. Now increase this to do the furtherance of your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.
On my way, give me courage, give me strength each day. Oh Lord, well, I'm holding your hand, and I'm so determined to stand. And by your grace, I know that I'll make it somehow. I know not now what tomorrow may bring. It may bring joy, disaster, and even pain. Oh Lord, but I'm trusting in the Lord, and I'm so believing in his word. So by his grace, I know that I'll make it somehow. And sometimes the way is hard, is so hard and so long. And life's sorrows, we just can't understand. Oh my God, but I'll tell him in prayer, 'cause he's so willing to share. And by his grace, I know that I'll make it somehow. Oh, I'll make it. somehow I'll make it somehow. I will carry, I'll carry that cross all the way. Oh my God. And if I stumble, and if I fall, I know Jesus will hear my call, and by his grace I know that I'll make it. I'll make it somehow.
And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into ministry, who was before a blasphemer, persecutor, and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. In Jesus' name, amen. So the last couple of weeks, the last 3 weeks, we started out talking about a faith that follows. We talked about the storm. Then we moved on to a faith that foreruns with the healing of the demoniac there at the beginning of the ending of the fourth chapter, going into the fifth chapter. There at that fifth chapter, about midways, we talked about a girl who needed a woman who had an issue of blood. Then now today, we're going to finish out. We're going to talk about a faith that fixes. A faith that fixes. Mark 5. There's three verses. And let me explain this to you. There's a term where a story is woven into another story. Story weaving into another story. It's called an intercalation. Mark's writing here in the fifth chapter, he does an intercalation because there's two stories woven in with one another. There's the woman with the issue of blood, and then Jairus comes up, and then he's dealing with the issue that he's dealing with, which we'll talk about today. So we'll read verses 22 through 24. I will read those verses to you. And then we'll pick up about verse 35. One of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, "My little daughter is dying. Come and lay your hands on her so that she can get well and live." So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd was following and pressed against him. Now we know verses 25 through 34 talks about the woman with the issue of blood, how she came up behind him in the press. We talked about that last week. And then she was healed. Verse 35, while he was yet speaking, people came from the synagogue leader's house and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" When Jesus overheard what was said, he told the synagogue leader, "Don't be afraid, only believe." He did not let anyone accompany him except Peter, James, and John, James' brother. They came to the leader's house, and he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why are ye making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him. But he put them all outside. He took the child's father, mother, John, Peter, and James, and Jesus. They entered the place where the child was, seven people total. Then he took the child by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say unto you, get up. Immediately the girl got up and began to walk. She was 12 years old. At this they were utterly astonished. Then he gave them strict orders that no one should know about this and told them to give her something to eat. It's a busy Tuesday morning, September 11th, 1911. The setting is Manhattan, New York. The hustle and bustle of that New York street. But at 8:46 a.m., an American Airlines Flight 11 hits the North Tower of the World Trade Center. The second airplane, United Airlines Flight 175, at 9:03, hits the South Tower. And from 8:48 a.m. till 10:28 a.m., it is estimated nearly 200 people were trapped by fire and smoke jumped from both of those towers. On September 11th, 2011, the world, the flesh, and the devil, the unholy Trinity, God our Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is the Holy Trinity, but the unholy Trinity sees the world, the flesh, and the devil, consummated. They got together and had a baby, and they made triplets, and they were born. At 8:46 a.m., trial came. At 9:03 a.m., tribulation came and breached forth from its mother's womb. And from 8:48 a.m. to 10:28 a.m., despair lingered on in the birth canal. Trial, tribulation, and despair are the offspring of the unholy Trinity, the world, the flesh, and the devil. After the Twin Towers collapsed, amongst the debris was found, after they cleared everything out of the way, was two steel beams. And those two steel beams that were used to construct the North and South Towers formed a cross. And this later became known as the World Trade Center cross. The children of the world, the children of the flesh, the children of the devil, had a party in Manhattan. Amongst the debris was standing an old rugged cross, the only hope for our inspiration. I would like to posit today that in times of trial and tribulation, when we give Jesus our desperation, he returns to us hope for inspiration. In times of trial and tribulation, when we give Jesus our desperation, he gives us hope for inspiration. Our Christian Bible is filled with events where trial, tribulation, despair have entered the world, leaving its debris. But God was our hope for our inspiration. Adam and Eve sinned. Eve gave Adam the apple. Am I right about it, Bethany? I proved it to you. Eve gave Adam the apple. Let me paint the scene for you. I believe what it was the fact that Eve had pretty eyelashes like April. Let me tell you something about April. April, if she asked me for something, she'd go to bat my eyes, she'd get it. It's a miraculous thing. Turn a stone hard, just as wiggly as a warm gummy worm. She sat there in that garden and she bit that apple. I think she took it off her beautiful ruby red lip. You know how black women, y'all, can put a little sum on your lips. She took it out of his mouth, said, Adam, baby, eat this. She gave it to him. And that started trial because sin entered the world. But out of that was a promise. God told her, he said, from you will come salvation because the serpent will bruise your heel, but the heel shall crush the head of the servant. And that is the hope for our inspiration. That's Calvary. Because there in that moment when Satan thought he had won. And Jesus hung his head in the locks of his shoulder. He died. He descended into hell. And on the third day morning, after he had preached a revival to the grave down in hell, he brought up all of the saints, all the way from his foreparent, from Cain, all the way up until now, and led them in a revival and said, when the saints come marching in, be ye lifted up, O ye gates, and even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King? He's my bread when I'm hungry, my water when I'm thirsty. That's what happened. That's our hope for our inspiration. David, great leader, great man, sinned, took Bathsheba. Sinned with her, had sex with her, even though she had a husband. Went and committed murder by proxy. Sent him, put him out on the front lines, knowing what would happen to him. They out there on the front lines. He got to fighting with, he's a Hittite, and he was fighting for David and fighting with the Philistines, and he died. Tribulation. Sin brings tribulation in our lives. Our parents will tell you, you know, you'll tell your children, you know, if you do certain things, babies come forth. They don't listen. That's where we get some of these cute grandbabies from. They don't like to listen. We tell you don't sell drugs. You go out and buy tons of cocaine and marijuana and other things. We tell you don't do drugs and you do them anyway. And they ruin your lives. That's the tribulation that comes in the world. But David was smart. He set up and wrote a soliloquy, 51st Psalm. Create in me, O God, a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Purge me with hyssop. When Jesus was on the cross, that very same hyssop was given to him when he said, I thirst. He had to drink for David. David couldn't drink for himself. Jesus drank for him on the cross. And when he drank for him on the cross, his sins were forgiven. Tribulation may come in your life, but Jesus came to forgive our sins. Jesus is the sin forgiver. Those are wonderful pictures that we have in the Old Testament. But within our text, we see trial and tribulation coming. But we see a man that approaches Jesus and he gives him his desperation. So what can we do? What does this text model for all of us? I believe what this text models for us is the despair of the black community. And only through Jesus and the church in the form of outreach can we reach our people. Jesus was modeling outreach for the church. Let me show you. One, a faith that fixes finds its source. Verses 22, verses 23 and 24. Jairus is in trouble. Jairus was a synagogue ruler. During that time, a synagogue ruler was basically the president of the synagogue. He was the pastor of the synagogue. But the problem therein lies, he probably 9 times out of 10 did not believe that Jesus Christ was a Messiah. A faith that finds its source. He went out and he went to Jesus because he was in despair. Our community is in despair. What's going to fix our community? Housing projects, they don't work. Section 8 doesn't work. Food stamps doesn't work. Welfare, it doesn't work. All of those things are temporal fixes. They're temporary. They only fix things for a little while. We want an internal source. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins where sinners plunge beneath his flood, lose all their crimson stains. Jesus' blood has been working since time past to time now and will continue to work in time eternity. Jesus is the only source that will fix things for us. Jesus is the fixer. And when we find that Jesus is the fixer of our source, knowing that he is the fixer, because he is the source that fixes our faith. And when we put Jesus in our households and we put Jesus in our communities, things begin to get fixed. Amen. I had a talk with a female friend of mine. She had a car issue. I told her on the phone, I said, when the last time you had your oil changed? She said, what? I said, you got to change your oil. She said, oh, okay. So she took her car out. She hadn't changed her oil in over a year. When the mechanic got up under there and he opened everything up, he told her, he said, "Thing, your system has got to be flushed out. Your system has got to be flushed out. It's got to be purged." So when they purged her system out, and then when they put some fresh oil in it, later on she called me. She said, "Big bro, thank you." She's like, "My car is running now. Our communities are filled with despair. And the only thing that is going to change them is a homiletical enema." Yeah, I know some of you all don't particularly care for my preaching, but let me explain something to you. This is good stuff. This is broccoli. This is collard greens. If you want to go somewhere else, I understand, you're going to get a cheeseburger. And when you get constipated, you're going to need a homiletical enema. That means you're going to need a good sermon to give you a good working, to get yourself clean. So when we find Jesus and we put Jesus in our pulpit, we get people whose ears are open. You find Jesus talking to someone in the Bible, and he says to them, "Ephatha, be opened." And the mute man who couldn't talk because he never could hear had his ears opened. And all of a sudden, he began to run his mouth. And I believe when we get a church full of folks that can run their mouth, they start talking like Jesus. They start talking about Jesus to people who don't know Jesus. And that's what we see in our text. This man began to find the source of what was wrong. Not only did he find the source of what was wrong, but in verses 35 and 36, a faith that fixes follows its source. In the text, you don't read anywhere that he led Jesus to his house. The text says they followed Jesus. Am I right? The text says they followed Jesus, unlike the disciples who grabbed Jesus and carried him onto the boat as an object of faith and not the subject of faith. When you allow Jesus to lead you and you follow behind him, you have a faith that fixes you. I came to Jesus wounded, wearied, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he hath made me glad. Ever since I began to follow Jesus, my grandma said he put running in my feet. When I followed Jesus, he put clapping in my hands. When I followed Jesus, he put joy in my heart. He put words in my mouth. And when we began to understand that we get behind Jesus to follow him to where he is leading us to, you don't ask him where he's going. Long time ago, let me see who gonna remember. Some folks that ought to be about my age. It was a cartoon that came out called The Smurfs. Smurf was three apple high. You see Smurfs, little man? You know what I'm talking about. Three apples high. And a Smurf, they'd get with Papa Smurf, and they'd go out on their little mission. You know what I'm talking about. They'd keep peeping back, and they'd say, "Papa Smurf, how much farther?" Papa Smurf say, "Not much farther, my little Smurfling." They'd keep on asking, and they said, "Papa Smurf, how much farther?" He said, "Not much farther, my little Smurfling." By the third time they asked him, they said, "Papa Smurf, how much farther?" And he'd get angry. "Not much farther, my little Smurfling." We got to stop asking the Lord how much farther in our followership. Because when the Lord is leading us, we ought to be willing to follow him all the way to wherever he's leading us. And whatever you're going through, my brothers and sisters, whether it be a bout with cancer, whether it be a headache or a migraine or bad children or bad grandchildren or whatever you're going through, maybe you're struggling with your call. I've got to tell you, don't look up to the front. When Jesus is leading him, you should be asking him not how much farther. You should be asking him, "Lord, give me the strength to follow you. Lord, keep me day by day in a pure and perfect way." That's what we ought to be singing. We ought to be singing words to the Lord and singing the hymns of the church. We ought to be coming to church looking for perseverance and for strength. That's where we find a faith that follows. We speak to Jesus as he leads us because he sent us another comforter called a paraclete. Parakaleos is the word, paraclete. He walks alongside of us. So on that journey, we have the Holy Spirit because he walks with me and he talks with me. So we have a faith that finds its source, a faith that fixes, follows its source. And verses 37 and 38, a faith that is fixes, that faith fixes, is informed by its source. Look at what Jesus does. They get to the house, and what does Jesus do? Jesus says, I want Peter, I want James, and I want John, James and John, the sons of thunder. He says, Mama and Daddy, I want you to go with me. So basically what Jesus does, he gets the pastor, who he is, he gets the chairman of the deacon board, chairman of the trustee board, and he gets the moderator, and he pulls them all together, and they go in the house with Mama and Daddy, and then they confront someone. Who are they? During that time in the ancient Near East, they bought folks that would mourn for you. What's the best funeral home here? Okay, in Birmingham, we got Bush Lawn. Everybody in my house knows, don't let nobody touch me when I leave here but Aubrey Bush Lawn. He'll have you looking like you was the day before you left here. You'd be just as beautiful. But they hired these folks that would be there with you, and they'd cry for you. They'd get... Oh, we ain't black today. Lord, why you take Mama all over the casket? Casket reeling and rocking, about to flip over. You done kissed Mama all in her mouth. She got a mouthful of embalming fluid, lips sewed together. All y'all know, but if a comedian said, you'll laugh. You can say, okay, we can laugh in church. There's comedy in the Bible. These folks sitting there, and he done hired all these folks. These people were hired people to sorrow. These people were hired people to sorrow. These people were people that would do anything that they could to get their money. My brothers and sisters, we have to be very, very careful in our community, because a faith that fixes is informed by its source. Jesus informs them by saying, I need to get all of these folks that doubt me out. I need to get the people that are paid to keep you away from me out. My brothers and sisters, that's what's going on in the world these days. I don't understand it. I have a hard time, and I talk about it all the time. I know y'all think I'm arrogant, but it is just what it is. How in the world can we go to a doctor who's been to school all but about 12, 15 years and get the best information from him? And we know he's not a doubter because he believes in what his practice is. Amen? And then oftentimes we will go to someone when our children is trouble. $10,000 retainer with my son right now. $10,000, an attorney that practices law, like y'all grandson, or like my daughter. That's why they get them big law degrees. My daughter get paid good money now. I can't wait to see Pawpaw and Mama's gift for Christmas and Mother's Day and Father's Day. But they had to pass the bar to get where they're going, because they believe in their practice, Judge, and them believing in their practice and what they do, they've had to struggle and work hard to be able to do this, right? But I can't understand why, for the life of me, one Sunday a black preacher could stand up in front of you, eyes called to the ministry. A year later, they're ordained. But they won't go to school. But we call them doctor. We call them this, that, and other. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. The culture has got to change in our church, because we allow people to stand up in front of us that don't believe what they're saying. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I have spent over the last 20 years more money and time than I ever will have, all because I believe in what I'm saying. You got to get rid of the doubters out of your life. And the way that you get rid of the doubters in your life are forcing people out of your life that don't believe. There's a character of belief. There's a disposition of belief. You ought to know what you believe. And the only way that you're going to ever learn what you believe in is by coming to Bible study. Come to Bible study. Come to Bible study. Come to Bible study. Come to Bible study. Please come to Bible study. Please come to Bible study. It will help you live a fulfilled life, because a faith that follows Jesus Christ is informed by its source. Jesus was getting rid of the doubt. The way that you displace that matter. No two pieces of matter can occupy the same place at the same time. Doubt and faith cannot exist at the same time. Black folks' faith, you gotta learn it. I'm sorry. You can't always experience it. You can't. We have got to learn faith. When I was a little boy, I had to learn Bible verses. When I was a little boy, I had to learn hymns. I had to learn all of the different meter hymns. A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, an ever-dying soul to save and fit it for the sky. Yeah, I know. I thought it was he was singing about Ray Charles, but still, I had to learn it. That's what's important. I had to learn the Ten Commandments. I had to learn the Lord's Prayer. I had to learn all of the different things of the church. It's important for us to learn. Because when you learn, the doubt decreases and he increases. Lastly, a faith that fixes finds its finality in its source. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We learn that in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. For those that come to him, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There at the end of the Hall of Fame of Faith, it talks about Jesus being the author and finisher of our faith. That means that he started the race of faith and that he finished the race of faith for us in that room. When he tells that little girl, Talitha Kumi, young man, he talks about the tallit. When she was dead, laying up there in front of the church, in the front part of our house, her tallit, which is a representative of the word of God, was draped across her. So to feminize the word, Talitha, Talitha Kumi, he says to her prayer shawl, through the prayer shawl he was wearing, to get up. The word that is there is not little girl, I say unto you, arise, but by my word you get up. The word of faith is spoken in that room. And every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord is a word of faith. Think about three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. They were there in the fiery furnace. What type of faith did they have? They had a faith that understood the finality. They told Nebuchadnezzar, my God can, my God will. But if he doesn't, I won't bow to you when the music plays. My brothers and sisters, every Sunday when we come into the church, we ought to know that we don't bow to the music of Jackson 5 that was out there on that field. We don't bow to the music, my brothers and sisters, of what was played by Bama State. All of you all that are here today are the faithful. Whether you're struggling to stay awake or not, whether you're masking the Hennessy that's on your breath today from yesterday, all of us came in here knowing the fact that we're not going to bow down to the music of the world. But what music will we bow down to? Come ye disconsolate, wherein ye languish. Yes, Lord. What music are we going to bow down to? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm feeling my Baptist. Run me out in D flat. I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. Long as I live and as trouble rise, I'll hasten to his throne. The little girl got up just like Jesus did when he hung his head in the locks of his shoulder and he died for all of us. He fixed our faith. When he fixed our faith and he got up on that third day morning, he got up for you. He got up for me with all power in his hands. First Church, I want to tell you, I love you. I want us to follow Jesus because Jesus has a faith that fixes us. Amen. The doors of the church are open. Will there be one? The doors of the church are open. First church, I got to get to you all used to the fact that the black church is a call and a response church. The rich heritage of the United Church of Christ, when we were founded in 1957, you see I hadn't been to school. That's what happened when y'all pay for me to go to school. We come out of a tradition, a deep and steep black tradition. And it is important for us to learn that we gonna be black and we gonna stay black. So when I call out to the church, say something. Because saying something make you feel good. If you love the Lord like I do, you will say something. And let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The doors of the church are open. Man, woman, boy, or girl, you can come to Jesus. By candidate for baptism, letter, or Christian experience, the doors of the church are open. Man, woman, boy, or girl, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come on, Linda, you can sing. Get that mic.
Help me out, because I can't do it.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being here and being so encouraging to me. I really appreciate you all. You don't know how much. Two things. In the spring, as it gets close to Easter, my good friend Reverend Robert Willis is going to come and do a Passover Seder for us. I want everybody to attend. I'm going to try to get him here on a Saturday, but it's got to fix his schedule. Rob Willis grew up, he's a white American. He is grew up in the Virgin Islands. It's so amazing because he can do the patois thing. Hey, come here there, man. And you look at him, you're like, Rob. But Rob is a Messianic Jew. So what I attempt to do during the Lord's Supper, he can explain it to us in a better detail. Talk about the bitter herbs, the lamb that must be eaten, and everything else. So what I'm going to do in the spring, probably about, it'll be late winter, mid-February, early March, is start a sign-up list. Don't sign up if you're not coming. Come so you can learn something, fill your head with something. And it's going to enrich your faith walk. It's going to increase your faith walk when he explains to you why lamb. Because Jesus, when he went up to the upper room, he was celebrating the Passover meal. And that meal just was not bread and wine. They went up, if you just drink wine and eat bread, you're going to be tore up. So you can't do that. We all know that. All right? So thank you. Thank you so much. And God bless you all. Tell somebody about First Church. Tell somebody that God wants to bless First Church. I pray for you all uniquely every morning and every night. Amen? Let us stand. Will the acolyte come? Lord God, we are so thankful for who you are. Bless us, dear Lord, with a faith that follows, a faith that foreruns, a faith that, dear Heavenly Father, heals, and a faith that fixes, dear Heavenly Father. Lord God, you are such a great God. And when we leave this place, dear Heavenly Father, let us be reminded of the calling that each of us has on our lives, the Christian calling to spread the news about who you are and how much you love us. Dismiss us from this place, but never from your holy presence. May the grace of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with his children, now, henceforth, and forevermore. We all say.